Thank you. I don't know if you caught their photo on Facebook. It was so precious to be able to see them out and just enjoying time away from here together. And let's encourage them to take advantage of that. Amen. They both are just so committed. It's hard to break them away from this place, honestly. So you can encourage them. Hey, take a break. Whenever you need to take a break, just take a break. And, you know, let them get a little bit used to that. They've labored for a long time, and I know that they will continue to do so. But I get to share the word with you this morning. I'm super excited about the word, but I also want to take just a moment or two. I have some incredible leaders that lead our prophetic training and our prophetic ministry. I know Michelle Ayala. She's in the nursery right now. She was with us first service. Pastor Nicole, of course, is amazing. Jill McGlynn. Actually, I just said Jill McGlynn. She's Jill Guerra now. Come on up, Jill. I know you got a little something. I want to release a couple words before we get into the word. I want to release a couple quick prophetic words. So first of all, I got one first service, and I knew she wasn't in here, but I'm going to have her stand now. Margo, would you stand? Just stand right where you're at. Amen. So this morning, I was just asking God, first service, I was asking God for, you know, just something for someone. And you came to mind, and what I saw was I saw you in, it looked like a medical room. And you were actually receiving a transfusion. And when I looked at the container or the bag, whatever it is that you want to call it, that was being released, that you were being transfused from, it said honey across the bag. And I was like, okay, that's really weird. And then I began to ask the Lord, there you go. I began to ask the Lord, well, what is that? And then, of course, naturally, I have kind of an understanding of health stuff, and naturally honey is a very interesting food in that it's a live food, but it doesn't rot like most live foods rot. So I just began to ask the Lord, what is that? And the Lord said, I'm calling Margo into a season where what I release to her will not grow stagnant. It will not grow old. In other words, there's something new that he's transfusing. He's releasing something new to you. And in this, what you're receiving from this transfusion, there will be no weariness. Yeah, there will be no weariness. There will be just an absolute feeling of sustenance that will not end. And so I just bless that over you. I sense that you're hungry for that. And you know the sweetness of the Lord. You're familiar with the sweetness of the Lord. But I think there's something that God wants to release that he's going to sustain in you. And there's peace that comes with that as well. So I just bless that word over your life. Amen. This is Jill.
Hi. Is Addie here? Addie? Yeah. Yes. Please stand. I was thinking of you, and what I saw first behind you was this whole, like, huge bouquet of beautiful, like, fuchsia, pinkish flowers. They were kind of like those Hawaiian flowers, those big flowers. And I feel like that's just God loving on you right now, and his passion for you. And it was just so sweet. And then I also saw a gold street before you, like a gold pathway before you. It was just like winding and stuff like that. And I feel like, and I saw a whole bunch of pillars. And I feel like you are a pillar, and you're not just one pillar. You're a lot of pillars. You've been a lot of pillars in your life. I feel like you've been pillars to a lot of people in your life. And I feel that God knows your history, and he knows where you've been, and you've set stakes out, you know, and those people remember those things, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like now, I feel like God, and every time you're in those places in your life, whether they're good or bad or happy or sad, you always try to find the good, and you always try to go to the next place in God, and you're always going after God, and that's what I feel for you. And I feel like right now God is beginning to put this gold path before you, because that represents the kingdom. Not like you're going to go to heaven like right now, but you're going to be in the kingdom now with God. And I feel like you're going to get more of the kingdom, and you're going to have more gifts that you don't even realize you have. They're just going to start coming out of you, and I feel like that's what you're hungering for, and it's going to be new to you, and it's going to be fresh, and you're going to be just a refreshing is going to come upon you, and it's And I'm so excited for you. I was just excited when I was like, really? Is this really going to be for her? But it is for you. And I feel like God just wants you to just take it on. And I saw you on, you know those things when you go to the beach and they're like those boards and the water comes up and you slide on the board, you know, on the beach. Have you ever seen that? And I feel like you're doing that down the gold path. Like you're surfing with God. And maybe that's what the Hawaiian flowers mean too. So maybe you need to go to Hawaii too. So amen.
Okay, favor. During worship, I was just asking the Lord, okay, you know, show me something. Who are you pointing out to me? And so, I saw this vision of like this really big like grandfather clock, and it was like, okay, God, what does that mean? And so, really, what I felt like the Lord was telling me was, it's not on man's time; it's on His time. And so, all the desires in your heart, all of the dreams that are deep inside of you that you thought maybe haven't come to pass, it's taken too long or the time is too extended. It's not. God's telling you it's not by man's time, it's by my time. And so those dreams, those visions, those desires that you have in your heart that you and Him know about will come to pass. And it's on His timing. And so I just bless that over your life. Just a new excitement of what's to come, that it's going to be on His timing and He will do it for you.
Knew it. This is Josh.
So I have a word for Jessica. Bass. And stand up. And I was asking God to highlight someone for me because I got a picture on the drive over here. Like right down the street, right here on Cottage, just instantly. And it was of, now I know it's you, you're reaching up to heaven. And it's almost like there was a sheet on the bottom of that heaven, but it's very soft, very pillowy, and there were seeps of honey dripping from that. And as you kept poking it, there would be drips of honey that would fall. But God is saying, rip it open. That sheet is not there to withstand that honey. He wants to pour that honey all over you, to rip it open, to be free, to just swim in that honey. And it's amazing that you had that word of honey for someone else and just receive that. Amen.
Honey is called the perfect food. It's called the perfect food. And wow, so there is something on that. And all of you can receive that. Amen. All of you can take that. Awesome. Well, I get to close up our message on the I am, right? We've been talking about who He is. That's where we've been. And I know that we've been on that a while, but I do need you to just engage and step in because I feel like there is something prophetic that God wants to release to those of you that are here this morning. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I do want to say this. The I ams of Jesus are Jesus's attempt, His attempt to get people to understand and trust who He is. That's why He used symbolic means, symbolic things to try to teach those that were following Him to get a picture, to really wrap their heads around who He is. And it's important that we know that when Jesus in the New Testament is making these decrees and declarations about who He is revealing Himself as the same I am that we read of in Exodus chapter 3:14, who responded to Moses when Moses could only see the task at hand, the thing that God was calling him to. Moses could only see his inadequacies. He could only see his insecurities. He could only see his insufficiency. And when he asked God, when he said to God, "All right, God, I'll go, but I don't understand this whole thing." I'm paraphrasing the story. You guys know that. But he's like, "I don't understand the whole thing, God. And really, it's kind of a big task. And do you realize that it's Pharaoh that you're asking me to go up against? And if it is you and you really want me to go, then who is it that I'm supposed to say is sending me?" And you guys are already you already know what the response was. Out of the burning bush, God said to Moses, "Just tell them that I am. Just tell them that I am. So when we see ourselves as limited and we know that we aren't, we need to just remember that He is. Amen? We need to know that no matter what it is that is presenting itself to us this day, right now, many of us are holding out for breakthrough. Many of us are trusting God for things that just seem like they're impossible. And God is calling us to step out in faith once again and trust Him, to reposition ourselves so that we can receive the promises that He's spoken over us in His word. And just like Moses, who recognized his inadequacies, he was very aware of his insufficiencies. God is reminding us, like He reminded Moses that day, look, you're not going on out in your own strength. You're not going on out in your own power, but you're going out in the might of my Holy Spirit, the one who strengthens, enables, qualifies you. Jesus, the same one who said, I am, when God was asking Moses to step into the realm of the impossible, is the same one who is affirming to us today that it doesn't matter what it is that you're up against. Amen? It doesn't matter the size of the opponent or the skill of the opponent. Listen, as I prepared for this message, God gave me a vision. That's just what happens sometimes. And what I saw very clearly was a boxing ring. And I saw a man who was weary and tired sitting on the stool in the corner of the boxing ring. And as I was envisioning this in my mind's eye, what I saw was a man walk up behind the tired fighter that was sitting on the stool in the corner. And this man was not covered in gold. This man was actually gold, which indicated to me that it was Holy Spirit. And as the man of gold with fire in his eyes walked up behind the tired fighter, he began to whisper in the fighter's ear. And I don't know exactly what it is, but like a trainer, he began to whisper to that fighter in the corner. And what I saw was this transformation that began to take place in this fighter. So I believe that today what is going to happen in this house this morning is for those of us that are weary, for those of us that are tired, for those of us that find ourselves up against some of the biggest obstacles maybe that we have ever faced, that there is a trainer in our corner and he has eyes of fire. And what he's saying to us this morning is, if you will be fully persuaded in the fact that I am all that you need, if you will be fully persuaded, then I will release unto you a spirit of boldness that has been missing, that will remind you and assure you that no matter the size of your opponent, no matter the skill of the fighter that you're up against, I am the one who has, not who will, but who has given you the victory, because I am. You are declared the winner. Amen. Hi, Stephen. You are declared the winner because He is, not because you are. Moses wasn't going to get the advancement that was promised in the house of Pharaoh in that land because he was. God is everything that we aren't, and that's all that we need to position ourselves on. Amen? We are in a fixed fight. The fight is fixed, and just like Moses was yet to understand who God was. See, that was the problem. He was so focused on who he wasn't that he couldn't see who God was. And sometimes that's what happens with us. We get so focused on who we aren't that we think our inadequacies are going to disqualify us for the promises of God. But that is not true. We are qualified for the promises of God because of who He is, not because of who we are. But there is one thing that's required on our behalf, and that's that we are people of faith. Now, wow, there's nothing too profound about that, but that is the truth. And sometimes faith, people of faith, we talk about this and we have these little Christianese sayings that come up, and oh yes, I'm a man of faith, and oh yes, it just takes great faith. Well, you know what? Faith is sometimes not that easy. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that faith, because the enemy kind of pulls that faith out of us sometimes in the journey, in the walk. But I'm here to declare to you this morning that you are in a fight, but the fight is fixed and you win. So I don't know I have no clue what the mountain is that is before you. I have no clue the size of the opponent that might be standing in front of you. I have no clue what it is, what the threat that the enemy has leveled against you. I don't know this morning what these things are, but God does. What I do know is that it doesn't matter the size of your enemy. It doesn't matter what you're up against. It doesn't matter who is standing in front of you. The answer is still the same for you and I. We are the victor as long as we remember that He is. So God is coming to blow on your faith this morning. Holy Spirit is here to whisper in your ear and to remind you, yes, I know that you're tired. I know that it gets hard sometimes, but don't forget that as long as you're connected to me, as long as you're standing in that position of faith, no weapon formed against you can prosper. So I want to read to you a scripture this morning. It's out of 1 John 5, verse 4. It says this, "For whatsoever," and if I may paraphrase, I'm going to say, "For whosoever is born of God." Who is God? He's the I Am that we're talking about. "Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that overcomes the world. What's the key? Even our faith. So if it's our faith that overcomes the world, then it shouldn't be a surprise to us that the enemy comes in hammering our faith. He wants to weaken that area in our life. But it's okay, because we don't need mountains of faith. All we need is a mustard seed of faith. That's what the Word of God says. So if you don't feel like a faith giant right now, that's okay. God will take your little tiny bit and breathe on it if you'll ask Him to. And so what is this about? Come on, PK, there's nothing profound about this. Come on, PK, that's all you're going to do is just deliver a little word on faith. You can't come with anything better than that? Nope, I can't, because that's the key. That's it. The lack of faith does not change the fact that He is. Our lack of faith does not change the reality of a powerful God. But the lack of faith is what will keep us from our victory. Right? It's what will keep us from our breakthroughs. It will keep us from obtaining the promises of God. But I'm here to say something to you this morning. I'm not here to condemn you if you're struggling in your faith. That's not what this is about. I'm here to remind you this morning that you are destined to win. Why? Because He is. Simple as that. You won the fight before you stepped into the ring. Why? Because He is. Not because you're adequate, not because you're amazing, not because any of this, not because you've got school or a PhD or whatever you want behind your name. None of that. You are destined for victory because simply He is. And the fact is we just need to believe that, right? That's why He calls us people of faith. Here's another statement. This one's a little rougher. Victory is not determined by the outcome. Now, naturally speaking, that's how we identify with victory. It's like we get to the other side, we've broken through, we're at the place of advancement, so we've obviously gotten victory. But see, in the kingdom of God, it doesn't happen that way. Victory is actually ours before the outcome of every battle that we find ourselves in. Before the opposition that we find ourselves standing up against, victory is already ours. And see, the enemy tries to turn this around in our heads, because if he can get us to think that we're fighting for freedom instead of fighting from freedom, then he's already working against us. See, you are already positioned. You are not fighting for the kingdom, but from the kingdom. And see, there's just a little bit of tweak in the way that you're thinking about that. See, it's the strategy of the enemy to make us believe that we have to fight for the kingdom. We have to fight for the things of God. There's no weapon that we have in our hand outside the weapon of faith that will gain us the victory. We can know the Word of God. We can pray till we're blue in the face. But the victory is ours because He is. And that's what we've been talking about these last few months. He is. And because of that, we fight from victory, not for victory. Faith is the key, without a doubt. And I want you to look at Webster's definition of faith here. Number one, firm belief in the integrity, ability, effectiveness or genuineness of, belief and trust in, loyalty to God. It's Webster's. Amen. Number two, faith is something that is believed, especially with conviction. God is calling you and I, no matter how difficult the journey has been, no matter how many times you've failed, to position yourself back into that faith fight. It doesn't matter, honestly. I think about David, who at the worst point in his life, when he had failed God, you know, he was this mighty, incredible man, but there was a time in his life where his failures caught up with him. And he found himself in the valley, in the pit of despair. But he made this decree while he was there. And some of you need to make this decree today. David said, in that valley of despair, "For though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil." In other words, I've blown it. I've messed up. I've let God down, and that's the reason that I'm in this valley, but I will not stay in this valley, not because of who I am, but because I trust who He is. He's the God who's taken me through. He's the God who's walking me beyond. He's the God who's going to break open the doors where the doors seem shut. We are to be people of faith because He can be, our lack of faith, as I said earlier, doesn't change who He is. It doesn't change one iota the fact that He is an all-powerful, almighty God. But our lack of faith will sometimes keep us from experiencing the promises that we find in His Word, that we're asking, why in the world hasn't this come to pass yet? How come we haven't gone breakthrough in this area? Why is my marriage such a mess? Why is this? Why is that? Why am I hurting so much? Why haven't I seen this healing in this area? Why are my finances... Okay, we could go on and on and on. I want to remind you that victory is not determined by what is going on. Sorry, there's a typo. Externally, it's an inside job. Victory is an inside job. Victory is not the absence of conflict. That's looking at it with natural eyes. Ooh, there's conflict. That means I have to fight for the victory. No, remember, we're fighting from victory. So when the opposition arises and the fight looks fierce, just remember your position. You're already a winner. It's a fixed fight. It's a fixed fight. See, that's what Moses was struggling with when he was having this conversation with God at the burning bush. God was calling him to fulfill this amazing purpose. And some of you have purpose that's beyond you, that you don't even understand yet. And some of you have already shrunk back because your focus is more on who you're not rather than who He is. But this morning, that's going to change. I open with the scripture. Faith is the key element to all victory in our lives. It's the faith factor, right? I said it earlier that there was a show that many of us remember a few years back that was really popular, Fear Factor. I really wish that they would have a show on major television networks called Faith Factor that would feature some of you that are standing or sitting here in this room this morning. Because I think it would just get just as much attention as that ridiculous show got so many years ago. Faith factor. Faith is the factor. Amen? Faith is the factor that turns victims into victors. That's the key. Right there. Not our qualifications. Not our stellar qualities. Faith. Faith. Faith in the one who says, if you are walking and you find yourself in the midst of darkness, if you feel overwhelmed by the darkness that is around you, faith in the one who says, I am the light. Amen. If you find yourself stuck, come on, I've been there. You're in that place and you just feel stuck and you're like, man, I just feel stagnant. I feel like I'm not moving. I'm not experiencing that freedom that I once felt. I just feel like just... stuck. I feel like there's nowhere out. We need to move ourselves back into that position of faith and trust in the one who says, if you're stuck in that room and it seems like there's nowhere out, don't forget, I am the door. I am the door. If you feel overwhelmed with your lack, has anybody there this morning? It's like, whoo, my ends just don't meet. I'm overwhelmed financially. You know, there's just too much required of me and there's not enough. Maybe even emotionally, you feel like you're in that place of lack where you just feel overwhelmed. God is calling us back into that position of faith where we actually trust, we actually believe that He is the bread of life that satisfies. He is the one that strengthens, revitalizes, and offers us to come back to that position of faith where He can show us that He is going to satisfy us in our lack. Remember, our lack of faith does not change any of the truth about who He is. Amen? Amen. I believe that this morning God is calling some of us into a place where we are going to experience the victory that we've been hoping for. But in order to do so, we're going to need to get an attitude. Okay? The weariness along the way that comes life, right? Life, you know, life comes with its challenges. And along the way, we get weary. And sometimes when we get weary, we lose the attitude, which gives us the edge, right? And we are so focused on the enemy's attitude that we forget that we're supposed to match and trump that attitude with our own. Let me talk to you about attitude for a minute. Attitude number one is, I want you guys to just focus in on this part, a state or position. A state or position assumed for a specific purpose. Some of you need to assume the position this morning. Some of us need to get an attitude once again. Some of us need to move into that place where attitudes are recognizable, right? Come on, you can walk into a room full of people and you can tell when somebody's got, you know, that little head wag going on. They got a little attitude. I believe attitudes are recognizable, and the enemy needs to see that we have an attitude when it comes to where we stand, right? The position. Number two, attitude is a mental, once again, position with regard to a fact or state. Let me say this to you this morning. We can't take a position unless we are sure where we stand. We can't take a position until we know where we stand. Where do we stand? Well, I don't know. But these are our position papers. Right? You know, every corporation, every denomination, they have their position papers. Well, we as believers, we have position papers, and they are found between Genesis and Revelation. And we need to know what they are so that we can actually stand on them. We need to take our position, assume the position, stand on the truth that we have in His Word. We need to know the truth about who He is, because when we don't, we lose our edge, we lose our attitude. So let me tell you, I want you to recognize what happens as I begin to make some decrees right now. They're common, recognizable, familiar decrees. But they're about your position and my position. Let me tell you what my position paper, right here, says about the fight that I find myself in. God says to us that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. He says to us that greater is He that is within me than he that is of this world. He says to you and to me that we can do all things, not some things, but all things in Christ who gives us strength. The strength is not our own. Do you feel that attitude, that position changing? How about this one? No weapon formed against you can prosper. And to take that even further, the last part of that verse says, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I will condemn. Anyone getting an attitude this morning? These are not fluffy little words of encouragement. These are the facts from the fact list. I'm going to give you some keys right now, so if you're taking notes, I want you to write these down, because we really need to be a people that go to the Word. We need to go to the Word. And when I say that, if you haven't found yourself in the Word in a while, you need to get alone. You need to shut the door. You need to open the Word, and you need to ask Holy Spirit to remind you who you are through His Word. This, again, is not condemnation, because I, just like you, can get overwhelmed with the busyness of life and find myself slipping away from the discipline of finding myself in God's word. But he's calling us back this morning. 2 Kings chapter 4, I'm not going to turn there, but I want to give you some keys, as I said. And there's a story in 2 Kings chapter 4 that most of us are familiar with, but I want to say this to you. Victory is born of discipline. Victory is born of discipline. We need to discipline our faith. Now, you guys know the story. There was a widow who didn't have much left. She was ready to just to lay it all down, to give up life as she knew it. She had one little jar of oil or one little pot of oil left. And the man of God showed up on the scene and gave her some instruction. Right? That's where the discipline, we're disciples. We follow instruction, right? Man of God showed up, told her to go ask for more jars, and when she gathered the jars, gave her very specific instruction. He said, then go in and shut the door. Prophetically speaking this morning, this is what the Lord spoke to my heart, that there are sons and daughters in this house that need to shut themselves in. They need to shut the door. They need to shut the door to the distraction. They need to shut the door to the doubt. They need to shut the door to the fear. They need to shut the door to the people in their lives that are distracting from their faith and that are contradicting the truth that they know. We need to shut the door sometimes before we see the miracle performed in our lives. Discipline. Discipline. The second key is that victory demands determination. We are to be fully persuaded. The Word of God says that we are to follow hard. This is not a casual stroll that we are on here. We are to follow hard after God. 2 Samuel 23, verse 10. Speaks of a story of one of David's mighty men who was not always a mighty man, but he learned from the disciplines. He was discipled by David, and he became a mighty man of war. And I want to say this to you, that we need to be determined to face every problem that arises in our life with a promise. We have to know the promises that are in here. Because when the problems arise, we should be able to pull up on a promise that is real. Amen. And the story goes that this incredible mighty man, this mighty valiant warrior that David had trained up, it says that he went out into war and it was just him and him alone. And he began to find himself in a war against many other giants. And the Word of God says that one by one, he began to take these giants out. And then the Word of God says that he began to get weary, and he became so weary that his hand became one with his sword. In other words, he couldn't even pull. He was so tired. He couldn't even open the fingers to take his fingers off the grip of the sword. I want to prophesy over you, sons and daughters of God. When the fight becomes fierce, we need to be one with our sword. We need to be one with our sword, because the enemy can level all kinds of accusations. He can use all kinds of weapons, but no weapon formed against us will prosper. When we understand that as the problem, every problem that arises in our life, for every problem that arises, every opposition that presents itself, there is a promise in God's word. And we need to release, we need to stand on that promise in order to get the victory. Say something else here. Victory is not based on who is with you. Sometimes you have to fight the battle alone. You and Holy Spirit. You and Holy Spirit. And sometimes we're not getting victory because we're so concerned. How come this person doesn't see I'm hurting? How come this person isn't coming to my rescue? How come this person doesn't come and pray for me? How come this person doesn't recognize I'm in need? We're so busy looking for other people to come alongside of us that we don't recognize that Holy Spirit is standing there tapping his foot, saying, you don't need them, you need me. You need me. You need to cultivate a relationship with me. I think of a story in Mark chapter 5. Do you remember the story of Jairus and his daughter? Sick unto death. And there was crowds around. And Jesus was there. And they were all ready to pray and go in and lay hands on Jairus' daughter. And Jesus said, nope, I just want Peter and John. We don't need a crowd. We don't need a bunch of people. We just need a couple. Just need a couple. Peter and John only. Victory is not based on who is with you. Victory is not based on numbers. I think of the story in 1 Samuel Jonathan and his armor bearer. I'm going to turn there real quick. I'm getting ready to wrap it up. So I'll have some time at the altar in just a minute. Just stay with me. Jonathan calls his armor bearer. They're, you know, Saul's armies are, you know, all resting from the battles. And they're sitting back and they're filling their bellies and they're doing this. And Jonathan says to his armor bearer, come on, let's take a walk. And they go out to this, little ravine. And they're in this ravine and they recognize that there's a Philistine garrison up on the hilltop. And a garrison is said to be, I don't know, so I think it's 600, maybe 300, I don't know, men. But Jonathan begins to speak to his armor bearer. And in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 14, it says this, then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving, for by many or by few. So listen, it doesn't matter the size of the opposition. Listen, Jonathan had an armor bearer. We have armor. And the armor that we have is not our own. It's not something that we have created with our own hands. It's the armor of Holy Spirit. It's the armor of the Almighty God that we wear that gives us the victory, right? So it's not based on numbers. God, nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. So we need to understand that our victory is not based on numbers. So I'm giving you keys this morning, church. Keys to move you back into that position where the fire of God will come back into your life. Where that weariness and kind of that place that we can settle into where things are just kind of casual. God does not want you there. There's not breakthrough there. There's not an unfolding there. There's no purpose there. God is calling you back into that place of fire where there's a fire in your spirit, like shut up in your bones. He's calling you into that place once again where you recognize that, you know what, you're not overtaken, but you're actually an overcomer. And that comes from a place of faith, trusting in who he is. Lastly, on my notes this morning, victory is a result of staying in the fight. Listen, you might be bruised and you might be battered this morning. You might not understand why what has happened or what is happening is actually happening. But the only thing you need to know is you don't have to know the best, how to throw the best of blows. You just need to stay in the fight. Because there is a promise in our position papers that is applied to you if you will stay in the fight. And it comes out of Romans 16:20. And I believe this is a prophetic word of the Lord that as I speak it, some of you are going to be bold enough to receive it into your spirit. Romans 16:20 says this, that the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Shortly. That means the battle is almost over. At least this round is almost over. And if you will take the Lord at his word, if you will take yourself and position yourself on that position of faith, if you will get an attitude this morning, you can be sure that the battle that you find yourself in is just about over because the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The fight is fixed, church. It's fixed. It's fixed. You and I need to raise our shield of faith, and we need to step back into the ring, and we need to trust the fact that the Lord knows the way that I take. And when I am tested, when I am tried, when I have got through this, I'm going to come forth as gold. Stand to your feet with me, if you would, this morning. I feel in my spirit that there is something that the Lord wants to do on your behalf this morning. You see, I think that some of us have slipped into that place. And what will happen right now is pride will come up in your heart and you'll say, oh, okay, well, I don't want anybody to know that I'm struggling. I don't want anybody to know that I'm tired or I'm weary, so I'm just going to stay right here. But I'm going to ask that you actually reposition yourself right now. I want you to begin to move out of your seats even now if you need an impartation from God. If you need a reminder from God that that you walk by faith and not by sight. If you need a reminder from God that what it looks like right now isn't in actuality the outcome. It's just the process that you might find yourself in right now. There you go. You're breaking off that spirit of fear and intimidation even now as you move out from your seat. You're choosing to reposition yourself to receive. I'm going to ask the prayer team, the prophetic team, that you go ahead and begin to make your way up. And I don't want you to spend a lot of time with each individual. I want you to release what it is that the Lord is saying to you and then trust God to do what only He can do. Because it's not even in the power of our prayers. It's in the power of our faith. So this morning in Jesus' name, God, as your sons and daughters move to this altar, I ask God, for your name's sake and your glory, that you would begin to infuse faith where there has been faithlessness. That you would release hope where there has been hopelessness. That you would release the newness of your spirit for those that have been striving, those that have been struggling because the opposition without has been great. But in Jesus' name now, we come to you in faith. That's who we are. People of faith, trusting in the infusion, the impartation. God, your word says that you release faith by measure. That's your word, God. We stand on that word this morning. We position ourselves, God, to receive the truth about what you say, about who we are, because who you are. Lord, that with our every limitation, with every bit of our inadequacy, ha shata rabas. Roshe de Sedia Kandarabasai. Rushu Ramahasandarabaki. More, God. There's more. There's more of your goodness that we're supposed to understand. God, the battle is shortly due to be over. This round is almost over. This round is almost over. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, I'm bruising Satan under your feet even now. I'm bruising him under your feet even now. The battle is not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Pull down on the truth that is in the very atmosphere, because He is. He is. He is. He is. When we aren't what we aren't, He is. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the release of Holy Spirit. Releasing a newness, a sensation of what is good and real. Releasing a newness to those that have walked the battle, that have walked the walk for so long, that have held on for so long. I pray for an increase, a new release of the measure of faith. God, I thank you now for releasing what it is that we need. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up. I thank you for what's new that's being released now. I thank you for something new that is being released. Ha. Rumbo shandarabaka. Here shendeasa. Rumashata. All stripping away the hurt, the disappointment, and the pain. And moving us into that place where promise is fulfilled. Thanking you now, my God, that we can't earn it.
When oceans rise, let's go.
do what only you can do, God. We don't wait on a prayer. We don't wait on the release of another. We trust in the release of your Spirit. We look to you right now and ask for an understanding of how you move, how you lift us up, how you release hope supernaturally. We thank you right now, God. Ah. Oh, my Spirit. Thank you so much this morning, God. We can't do it without you. We don't want to look to the person to our left, to our right, not even to our spouses, but to you, God, because you started the book on our behalf and you promised that you would finish it. You started the story for every single one of us. And you gave us a guarantee in your word, and you sealed it with your Holy Spirit of promise that if we would just stand and hold on and trust, then we would see that in fact you are. It's as simple as that, God. It can't get any more profound than that, God. You are the I am. You are the I am. And we move into that position this morning. And we pick up that attitude that is needed. And we refuse to focus on what the enemy is doing. But instead, we keep our eyes on you. Fixed on you. And trusting in the fact that you are good. And you are for us according to our position papers and not against us. And that is good news this morning. It's good news. We thank you for fighting on our behalf and for gaining the victory on our behalf. And we bless you for that this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask, I think Henry is going to come up. And is it Henry that's releasing us in prayer this morning? This is Minister Henry, and I'm going to ask that as he closes us in the Word of God, that if you're visiting with us this morning, I want to take a moment to meet you. So please, if you're a visitor, bring your family and just come into this room over here real quickly. I'd like to get to know you real quick. So if that's you, please don't hesitate. Come on over.
Wow, what a powerful, powerful message. Thank you, Pastor Kerry. You know, when the worship was going, and I heard Pastor Kerry begin to preach, I could already feel the prophetic declaration. I could already feel as if walls were being torn down. And I began to see walls of Jericho. That's all I kept thinking about was Jericho. And I was reminded that in Joshua chapter 6, sometimes, you see, when Pastor Kerry said that, you know, faith activated brings you into total agreement with your God-given victory. Victory is already destined for you. All you have to do is activate your faith to receive it. It is yours. It is part of your inheritance. It belongs to you. All you have to do is grab a hold of it and take it. So, When I was thinking of Joshua chapter 6, it says that on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times. Except on that day, they circled the city on the seventh time. The trumpets began to blast. How many of you know that right now you're only one shout away from your victory? As worship was going, the walls were being torn down, not just in your life, but here in the city of Manteca and in this entire region of San Joaquin County, because there's been so many negative things that have been prophesied due to foreclosures, debt, unemployment. But God's going to turn it around. He's going to turn it around. And when those trumpets blast, Joshua commanded his people to shout. And he said, for the Lord has given you this city. He's given you your family. He's restoring you physically, spiritually, your family in this entire city of Manteca and this region. Why? Because it said that this city was to be devoted to God. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Father God, for the message, Lord, that you poured out today, Father God. I pray that every single person that has ears to hear would grab a hold of that, Lord. Take hold of that and allow your finger to inscribe it on the tablets of their heart, that they would run and not grow weary, Father God. The Lord, that they would activate their faith and receive their God-given victory today, Lord Jesus. For it is no coincidence that this Wednesday that we'll be over there worshiping and praising and praying over our city. For the walls of the city are being torn down. And it is no coincidence that the following Sunday, on July 2nd, we will be honoring the veterans. Why? Because these are people who stormed the gates of the enemy. And they protect this great nation called the United States of America. But God is looking to raise up a generation. He's looking to raise up sons and daughters who will stand watch and stand guard over His sanctuary, over His church. And pray without ceasing. Just like the revival that's taking place in China. So, Father God, Lord, I just bless your children today, Father God. That they would be blessed coming in and blessed going out. That every single thing that they put their hands to, Father God, would be blessed. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray protection over every single child in this room, Father God. Bless them, Lord Jesus. Bless every husband, every wife. Bless them as they go to work, Father God. May your traveling mercies be upon them, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Be blessed, my family, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.